I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. If you want to get your Bible, you want to pause this video and get your Bible and read along with me. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So Peter here introduces his first letter by saying God has given us this new birth into a living hope. Remember what Paul said about hope. Hope is something that we don't yet have. No one hopes for what he already has. If we're hoping for something, we're anticipating it. We're expecting it. And usually there's an eagerness to it. Well, Peter unites hoping and rejoicing together here. We're rejoicing in that which we're anticipating. Though for now, we have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And it's interesting, we suffer grief in all kinds of trials, even though Peter says that we are being shielded through faith by the power of God. And we're awaiting this salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last day. So what is this hope we're waiting for? That we don't currently have this living hope, this salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time that we're rejoicing in. But currently it's necessary that we're going through grief of all kinds. There is a reality here that we need to understand in believers, that we are physical bodies are not what's shielded by faith through the power of God. God didn't promise to shield our physical body through His power. He can. There are times that God has wonderfully, miraculously intervened and touched someone's physical body. But think with me about the early Christians. Imagine yourself in a group of early Christians in a holding cell underneath the floor of a Roman arena, awaiting to be thrown into the arena to be killed either by gladiators or wild beasts in front of just sick and insane cheering Roman crowds. Those believers had to believe that God was shielding them through faith by His power, even though He wasn't protecting their physical bodies from what they were about to suffer. Paul himself suffered many afflictions. I think 5 times he was lashed. He was beaten with rods. He suffered shipwreck in the open sea. He was in constant danger physically. He experienced hunger, sleepless nights, endless toils, under the threat of physical death many times. And yet, they were shielded by faith through God's power. This is important for us to understand when we're facing situations like we are here now with this COVID-19, that it's not physically that God has necessarily promised to protect us and shield us by His power. It is natural for us when someone that we love becomes sick or injured in a serious accident, or they develop cancer, or they're dealing with suddenly severe diabetes, or having to take dialysis, someone's kidneys are shutting down. There's so many things that can happen to the people we love physically that we become concerned with. And oftentimes, our prayers are that God would heal them, that God would touch their bodies, that God would keep them alive, that God would deliver them. And oftentimes, in His mercy, many of these that we love do make it through, but not all make it through. What about those families who would be like those early believers, having to suffer, knowing that that God allowed the ones that they love to die. We already know, and if you haven't figured this out, I think you should have yourself checked out, just teasing you. God has not stopped the aging process. Why is that? Why is it that if God's shielding us by his power, why did he not just choose to heal us of the aging process? Well, the Bible actually speaks to this. Paul addressed this in the book of Romans, in chapter 8. And you and I can be comforted by these scriptures if we understand what Paul was addressing here. Romans chapter 8, I'm going to start in verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. There is a glory that's going to be revealed in us, but it's not here yet. The creation waits in an eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. And if anything describes old age and dementia and the difficulty we begin to have as our bodies begin to wear out, it is this term, the bondage to decay. That's why we age. That's why, in another place, Paul uses the term, outwardly we waste away. It is because of the bondage to decay that the entire creation has been subjected to. Paul goes on to say in verse 22, and we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up into the present time. This creates difficulty even for creation. Not only so, though, but we ourselves, we believers, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons. And then Paul adds, the redemption of our bodies. We're awaiting our full adoption as sons. We have been saved. God has forgiven of our sins. We have become his sons and daughters. But we're awaiting the full process of the adoption. And part of that waiting, what we're waiting for is we're awaiting for the redemption of our bodies. And that means that our bodies have not been redeemed. We are the redeemed of the Lord. He has redeemed us. But it's not our physical bodies that have been redeemed. Paul said, he goes on to say, in this hope we were saved. In this hope of the adoption that's coming, and that one day our physical bodies will be redeemed. In that hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. That's no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we're waiting for it patiently. And that's the situation we're in. We're rejoicing in hope. We have been given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. There's no corruption. Moth doesn't trouble it. Rust doesn't corrupt it. Thieves can't break through and steal that which God has promised us someday in that adoption as sons, in the redemption of our bodies, in the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. We're rejoicing in that, but rejoicing in hope. We're waiting for it. We're anticipating it. God has promised it, but we don't have the fullness of it right now. Currently, our bodies, along with all creation, has been subject to bondage, to decay. And the idea of decay means that it's wasting away slowly. And we know this. Our strength ebbs away. Our mental capacity often ebbs away. Our ability to work and to communicate and to think and remember, we see a diminishing and a loss as we age. And this is because the entire creation and our physical bodies have been subject to the bondage to decay. And this causes us to groan inwardly within ourselves, Paul said. We groan when we deal with these physical things. Many of you now, you're groaning over the dialysis that you have to take, or the cancer medication you're having to take, or the physical pain that you're having to deal with on a constant basis, whether it's from your back or your knee or your hip, or you're groaning with the complicated hearing issues or vision issues, all forms of a physical body that's been subject to decay that is not yet redeemed. And we should not let this fact that our physical body has not yet been redeemed, and that it's necessary for us to go through all kinds of severe and grievous trials. In 1 Peter, the word for the grief of all kinds is where we get the English word lupus. Lupus means an intense pain, severe trauma that you're having to deal with. Many of you actually have to deal with lupus itself. It's a broad word meaning intense pain. It's necessary because the entire creation groans because it's been subject to the bondage of decay, and our physical bodies, which have not been redeemed because we're awaiting for the redemption in that day and the full adoption that we're anticipating as the sons of God, that salvation is going to be revealed in the last time. At that point, we will experience the redemption of even our bodies and every promise of God fully fulfilled. But right now, that's not what we have. What we have is a deposit of the Spirit that guarantees the inheritance that awaits us in the last time. And we need to allow this reality to encourage us, because sometimes we think that, well, if we're being shielded by faith, if we have faith, and if God is shielding us, and if He loves us, then He's going to spare us from the physical pain. Well, obviously, that is not what Peter was referring to. Many of the early Christians were not spared physically from dying as martyrs. And even the apostles and other early Christians, they died of physical ailments. None of them were spared from growing old unless they were spared that by losing their life through martyrdom or some accident early. And none of us are going to be spared from growing old. There is no faith that we're going to discover that's going to shield us from our physical bodies wasting away. So we need to learn that even as our Lord has deemed that it's necessary, He has chosen that it's necessary for us to go through great and grievous physical trials of many kinds, even while we are suffering physically, we are being shielded by faith through the power of God. And what's being shielded? That promise. Our adoptions as sons. That the eventual salvation to be revealed in the last times. The full inheritance of which we only have in part, the deposit for now. Paul also spoke about this in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and let's look at this. I'm going to start with verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God. Now, why would Paul use the analogy of this treasure that we have from God, this deposit, is in a jar of clay? Well, most of us know that if we've ever dropped a jar of clay, it's not that strong. They break pretty easily. These bodies are fragile, and they are subject to the things that happen in this life, to falls, to car accidents, to other things that can come upon us physically that break us in ways. He goes on to say, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but we're not destroyed. The early Christians were struck down by swords. They were struck down by wild beasts, but they were not destroyed. Their physical bodies may have been put to death, But they were not destroyed. Their eternal life in Jesus Christ was preserved, and they will experience the full adoption of sons and the full redemption of their bodies. They will experience the full salvation that's ready to be revealed at the last time. So Paul says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. And the life he's talking about is spiritual life, the righteousness of Christ, the meekness of Christ, all the fruit of the Spirit, even while we go through such physical trial and grief and pain. The righteousness of God, the life of Christ is revealed even in our mortal bodies. So even while death is at work in us, Paul says, life is at work in you. And he goes on to say, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. And with that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. And he's not going to raise us out of our current physical trial. He will raise us from the death that awaits every one of our physical bodies eventually. He will raise us from physical death. And all of this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. And therefore, even though we always are carrying about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, though we are hard-pressed on every side, perplexed and persecuted and struck down, though these things are necessary for us in our physical life as we await the redemption of our bodies, as we await the fullness of the adoption as sons, as we await the salvation that's to be revealed in the last time, although these things are necessary, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away. Physically we are wasting away. My father is 88. I'm seeing him waste away. He's enjoyed wonderful health and many of the blessings of God. And he's still able to do many things. But he is aging. And all of you who are older, you already know what I'm talking about. We are wasting away. And yes, at the same time, we are being shielded by faith through the power of God. What he has promised us, the full adoptions as sons and the redemption of our bodies that we do not have now, that's awaiting us. And we have the deposit, we have the Holy Spirit, and this deposit, this treasure we have, is in a pretty fragile earthen vessel that if it gets dropped or it gets in the wrong accident, we know what happens. People die. People experience serious injury. And God has not promised to spare us from those physical difficulties. We need to understand this. It is natural for us when someone that we love begins to experience physical pain, out of compassion, out of love for them, we lift them up in prayer and we ask God to be with them. Oftentimes we ask God to heal them. If we had our way, God would stop every physical difficulty, every pain. No one would cut their finger. No one would break a bone. No one would have an auto accident. No one would get cancer. If we could prevent them from having to go through pain, we would. God can prevent people from going through that, and he doesn't. He said through Peter, giving Peter the direction and wisdom from the Holy Spirit, that it's necessary we go through these things just for now. And even as we go through them, we will be shielded by faith through the power of God. So Paul goes on to say, finishes this chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he finishes by saying, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. for our light and momentary troubles. Now, how in the world could Paul himself, who was beaten with whips 5 times, 3 times with rods, he was stoned, he often toiled all night long without sleep, he had to flee, being arrested, and his physical life was sought. He was always under pressure of that kind. How could he call these difficulties light and momentary troubles? But he did. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. The eternal glories, the future redemption of our bodies, the fullness of the adoption of sons that awaits us, the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last days, that awaits us. And that is so weighty that regardless of whatever physical difficulty, it is necessary for us to endure in this life, because our physical bodies, like all of creation, has been subject to the bondage of decay. Whatever difficulty we must go through, you're outweighed by the future glory that awaits us. And so Paul says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen. We don't fix our eyes on physical protection. We don't fix our eyes on, did God spare us? Is he given us some kind of spiritual force field to prevent us from having to go through physical pain and difficulty in this life? No, we don't fix our eyes on physical things. We fix our eyes on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. And whatever grievous trials we will go through in our physical bodies, they're temporary. They are not forever. In a way, I've taught this and I believe this. We are in a win-win situation in Christ Jesus. And what do I mean by win-win? Well, first of all, we're told that any difficulty we go through, however grievous it is, it's temporary compared to eternal life without sorrow, without pain, without mourning. So we win. It's only temporary. And not only is it only temporary, in the difficulties we go through, the life of Christ is manifested even in our mortal bodies. And God is at work together for his own good in every difficulty we go through. These trials, Peter says, they've come that our faith would be refined. I think he used the word testing in the NIV, but in the Greek word, it's dokimazo. It's a term of how that they use for those who refine metals. When gold or silver is purified, it's heated so that the alloys can be separated from the precious metal. This is why there is 24 karat gold is pure gold. There are no other alloys. It is 24 carats of gold. If you have 14 karat gold, that means 14 parts of it are gold and 10 parts are other alloys. So it's possible for you and I as believers to have a faith that's not 24 karat. It's mixed. We have other alloys. We have areas of unbelief. We have areas of undeveloped faith. It's mixed. And God uses and designs the trials that we go through physically, those necessary grievous trials that we experience now. What they do is they bring our faith into a greater quality and purity. And that hopefully we can experience more and more and more faith, so that the quality of our faith, as it's purified, less and less disturbs us. We do come to the place where in everything we give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. We come to the place where we can count it all joy whenever we face various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith works endurance, and endurance works perseverance. Perseverance works proven character, and character hope. When we see the beneficial process that our Heavenly Father takes us through using these necessary, grievous physical trials of this life, we can rejoice. And by faith, we live by faith, so that when we experience difficulties, whether it's through a coronavirus, whether it's through cancer, whether it's through just the other elements of our bodies which are wasting away, in everything we give thanks. And we realize something. What God is shielding, what He's shielding by His power through faith, is He is shielding and guarding our eternal life, the life of our spirit, and the full salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. The fullness of our adoption to sons, the fullness of that time, the redemption of our bodies, and the new heaven and a new earth, where when His own time says it's now, in that time, there'll be no more sorrow and no more pain and no more suffering. And the glory that awaits us is so exceedingly greater than our present sufferings. Paul says it's not worth comparing. So you and I do have reason to rejoice in the Lord always, even when we are in the middle of a grievous physical trial. It's only temporary. And that trial, if it involves the wasting away of our physical body, or even the loss of our physical life, does not affect that which God is shielding by His power through faith. And that is our eternal life, our life in Christ, which no one can take from us. No physical loss can take from us. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. So those of you who are aging, your body's wasting away, and you may someday have to deal with diabetes. You may have to deal with cancer. You may have to deal with the loss of being able to walk, the loss of being able to hear. You may have to deal with the loss of eyesight. There may be severe physical trials that await many of us. Aging awaits all of us. Paul put us all in this category. Outwardly, we are wasting away. We know that that's ahead of us. Some of us won't even get that far, because there's accidents, and some people die earlier. But let's not allow the things that we have to go through physically, that God has deemed to be necessary, and that He has chosen to use to refine our faith, to enhance its quality, to teach us not to fix our eyes on what is seen, but to fix our eyes on what is unseen, so that our rejoicing is not based upon circumstances. We don't want to be a people who are only joyful if everything is easy. We want to be a people who, even if we are in a difficult situation, we can rejoice. One of the most startling times that we see two people rejoicing that stand out to us as wow was when Paul and Silas were in jail, having been flogged and put in stocks. And then as the late evening hours unfolded, they were worshiping and praising God. Obviously, they were in pain. I do not believe that God spared them being in physical pain. Their rejoicing was in the hope that there was not anything the Roman guards or Roman officials could do to them to take away the salvation that they had secure in Christ Jesus. And I sure hope that you and I can experience this kind of confidence in life, so that whether we lose some part of our own physical ability as we waste away, or whether we lose a loved one, we lose their physical life, we see them do what Peter said he was going to do, lay down this tent of the body, and we lose their companionship, that we will not grieve like the rest of men without hope. That we will realize that, yes, even as they died, if they died in faith, they were shielded by faith through God's power. And in that day, when they experienced the full adoptions as sons and the redemption of their bodies and that salvation that's ready to be revealed them the last time, they're going to sing that song, "It Will Be Worth It All." So if, the more we understand of what it is that God is shielding, what he is that he's preserving, we won't be thrown off by these necessary, grievous physical trials that we have to deal with in this life. And therefore, our basis of rejoicing will be in hope, looking ahead, fixing our eyes on what we don't see, because the promise of God does not change even when we find ourselves in a very difficult physical situation. His promises are sure, and they are fully reliable. We have the deposit of the Holy Spirit guaranteeing the inheritance. And knowing this, and if we understand it properly, then we will not be thrown off and shaken in our faith when God has deemed we're going to go through a difficult trial. I hope this is an encouragement to you. I hope you'll meditate on it, and I hope the Lord will make it very real to you so that your joy in the Lord will be what the Scripture says. We'll rejoice in the Lord always. In everything, we'll give thanks. And whenever we encounter various trials, we will realize they've come for a purpose, and God is at work in them. And He is guarding us. We are being shielded by His power through faith, even when we're in pain, even when we're in the midst of a grievous trial. God bless you.